This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In the internet age, rural libraries still provide a public service for their communities.
This tour and the year I've spent as president have really opened my eyes to what a library can mean to a rural community.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Conversations around the death of a young girl in Boone County have some officials questioning whether homeschool rules need to change. A major advocate is firing back. Brianna Heaney has more.
At a press conference last week, Governor Jim Justice suggested he would be open to calling a special session of the legislature to change homeschool reporting laws. 14-year-old Kennedy Miller was being homeschooled by her mother. She was found dead in a nearly skeletal state by authorities in April. Senator Patricia Rucker, a Republican from Jefferson County, is a staunch advocate for homeschooling. She says there are multiple factors that contributed to the girl's death, including an overloaded and underfunded CPS system.
There was clearly many ways in which, you know, folks dropped the ball. The homeschooling was not the main way that we might have been able to save this young girl.
She says leadership needs to engage in introspection and acknowledge where they failed in this tragedy. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
Several dozen inmates at the Lakin Correctional Center in Mason County, West Virginia, have earned new diplomas that may someday help them join the workforce. Maria Young reports.
From behind the barbed wire and steel gates, there was a bit of pomp and circumstance Friday at the Lakin Correctional Center, West Virginia's only all-female prison. Before a crowd of family members, friends, and corrections officials, 39 women received diplomas in a variety of programs, everything from high school equivalencies to culinary cosmetology and even dog grooming certifications. Lori Wedge is Lakin's principal for West Virginia Schools of Diversion and Transition.
Those that are receiving their high school equivalency, they find that very rewarding because they have often felt like a failure because they dropped out. You know, you can't have a really decent job if you don't have your high school diploma.
Most of the graduates will be released within 5 years. Prison officials hope Friday's milestone helps them not return. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maria Young in Charleston.
The builder of the Mountain Valley Pipeline has asked federal regulators to give authorization for the natural gas pipeline to begin service today. Curtis Tate has more.
In a letter to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission on Monday, Equitrans Midstream declared the project mechanically complete and in compliance with environmental and safety requirements. The nearly $8 billion 303-mile pipeline has been under construction since 2018. Equitrans told FERC it had completed water pressure testing on all project facilities. A section of the pipeline burst during a pressure test on May 1st at Bent Mountain, Virginia. The company has maintained that the incident warrants no safety concerns and demonstrates how the testing reveals problems that need to be corrected. Residents, community groups, state lawmakers, and county commissioners have asked FERC to deny the pipeline's application for service. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency says it can help storm-affected homeowners with items that insurance doesn't cover. That includes furnaces, wells, septic systems, and private roads and bridges. Residents of Boone, Cabell, Fayette, Kanawha, Lincoln, Marshall, Nicholas, Ohio, Putnam, Wayne, and Wetzel counties, whose primary residence sustained damage during severe storms and flooding on April 2nd to 4th, may qualify for assistance. FEMA may reimburse the cost of professional estimates for repair or replacement of those items and for the repair and replacement itself. Eligible residents can apply in person at FEMA Disaster Assistance assistance centers in Kanawha, Nicholas, Putnam, and Marshall counties. They can also apply for disasterassistance.gov with the FEMA app or by calling 1-800-621-3362. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. Mostly sunny skies today, highs in the 70s, clear tonight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with highs in the 70s and 80s. Sunny on Thursday, again, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by Extreme Networks, providing customer-driven networks with Extreme Cloud IQ Wi-Fi, fabric solutions, and local support in West Virginia. Online at extremenetworks.com. President of the American Library Association, Emily Dubinsky, is on a three-week-long road trip from New York to the annual conference in San Diego. Along the way, she is stopping in at different rural libraries to talk to them about the work they are doing and what they need to continue that work. Dubinsky took a pit stop in Charleston to sit down and talk with Brianna Heaney about what she's been hearing from rural libraries during this road trip.
From what I understand, you are on a road trip.
We are. We are on the road to our ALA annual conference in San Diego at the end of the month. We left New York City last Sunday, and we will arrive in San Diego just in time for the conference to start on June 26th.
So what are you doing along the way?
Seeing a lot of wildlife and eating a lot of junk food and visiting 9 different libraries along the way, telling the story of the power of American libraries.
And one of those is a rural library here in West Virginia, right?
It is. We're headed later this afternoon to the Buffalo Creek Memorial Library in Mann, West Virginia.
That's amazing. So as you have been talking to libraries, preparing for this trip, what are some of the things that you're hearing from libraries, especially rural libraries?
We are hearing so many amazing stories that will just blow your mind. You know, I live in New York City, live in Brooklyn, work in Queens, and I don't have a lot of experience with rural libraries, but this tour and the year I've spent as president have really opened my eyes to what a library can mean to a rural community, the way that the library functions as a community center, a connector between people and other people, people and their neighbors, and also people to public resources, as well as just having a book to read at the end of your day.
So talk to me about some of the experiences that you've had so far on the road visiting these libraries.
Well, you are just the second stop on our tour in Mann, so I will know more in a week. But we just left Rhode Island, where we visited Cranston Public Library and learned from librarians all around the state who joined us in Cranston to talk to us about the incredible programming they provide, everything from support and training for public sector workers dealing with the impact of the opioid crisis to a plant sale they host in West Warwick, Rhode Island, with Girl Scouts of America.
Talk to me about some of the modern needs that rural communities are needing and wanting from their libraries.
One of my favorite rural libraries in the country is in a tiny town called Donnelly, Idaho. And I grew up in Idaho, although in the big city in Boise, but in Donnelly, Idaho, the librarian there, Sherry Shaline, not only collects books and reading materials for all ages in her community, but she also sees the rural library as the heart of the community. And that's an area where the majority of people under the age of 18 live below the poverty line. And they need access to not just books and not just broadband internet, but also joy. So she has collected a bounce house as well as a cotton candy machine that anyone in the small rural community can check out so that every child can have a birthday party to remember. So it's things like that, right, where you've got rural communities where much of the sort of wealth has disappeared a little bit, but you've got the library working overtime to make sure that people have not just what they need, but also the things we need to live more than just a bare life.
On the flip side of that, what are some ways that listeners and community members can better support their rural libraries?
I think the single most important thing a person can do to support their library, rural, urban, whatever, is to use it. When we use our institutions, we expand them, right? We indicate and demonstrate to the public that the library is worth saving, worth preserving, worth expanding. So use your library. So if you have a library card, go check out a book, attend a program, bring your child to an event. If you don't have a library card, go get one. If you have a library card and your friend doesn't, bring them with you. I think that that is the single most important thing we can do. Libraries are a use it or lose it kind of proposition. And then secondly, it's important for all of us to make it very clear to policymakers and legislators that the library is an important public space as well as an entity worth funding so that it can meet the needs of rural communities that simply aren't being met by other organizations.
Yeah, I mean, what would you say to somebody who says, you know, I'm not a bookworm, I don't read a lot of books a year, but I still want to support my library? Is that something that a person could do? Do you have to be somebody who is like a super hungry reader, reads all the time, to be somebody who supports and is involved with your local library?
Not at all. Libraries have so much going on and something for everyone. The American Library Association put out a report earlier this year about library use by Gen X and millennial users. Sorry, it was millennial and Gen Z users. And those users, what was interesting is first that they were using libraries at a much higher rate than other generations, but second that a lot of the people who reported using libraries avidly reported that they were not readers. Weren't readers at all.
Wow.
So libraries have so much more to offer than just books. And myself, are you a reader?
Yeah.
I'm a huge reader. But you don't have to be a reader like me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's been amazing about touring the country and visiting libraries is seeing how much programming and outreach happens in every community that's really specific to the community.
So a lot of people in these communities are having a really hard time communicating with each other, knowing what's going on. How does the libraries fit in that context? And are they able to bridge that gap as we see more institutions fall in this region, like news organizations, radio, even like little trading post magazines, mm-hmm. you know, ways that people communicated about various subjects on various fronts? I mean, people in Southern West Virginia would use the newspaper to know who died, who got married. And with the closure of so many of these newspapers, I mean, the one that comes to mind right now is a newspaper out of Welch that closed last year. But is there an opportunity for libraries to rise to that occasion and help bridge that gap?
It's a heavy question, right? Because the library also is an institution under extraordinary pressures and not supported in the ways that it needs to be to fill those gaps that you're describing. So the library, if we think of it as an institution for democracy, right? That if one of the fundamental tenets of a democratic society is that everyone has access to the information they need to both know what's going on and to come to an informed conclusion about what they think should happen next and then have the means to express that opinion and shape policy and shape the future, it relies on access to information. So what you're describing about the collapse, the media sort of ecosystem in rural West Virginia and rural America in general and really the whole country, that's devastating. But the library continues to be a place that not only does it have the internet, which is like an essential conduit to information right now, but we also subscribe to what newspapers there are, right? And so can give access to the print and digital information necessary for an informed democracy. So can we fill all those needs? No. You know, we circulate information that has to be produced and circulated in the first place, right? And so until you know, you've got to support the media ecosystem also. But as the tool for circulation and distribution of that information were essential.
That was Emily Dubinsky talking with Brianna Heaney about rural libraries. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Eric Douglas produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.